Welcome back to this episode of The Beaver Dam. I'm your host, Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. Pat, how are you doing today?
Trent, I'm not going to lie. I had a great workout today, so I'm feeling really good.
Honestly, me too. I mean, our weights are getting heavier each week and getting a little more sore. I'm not as sore as I was last week, though. Last week killed me, but today I'm actually feeling a lot better, so that's good. I was feeling a little sick this weekend, but started wearing off today. I think this nice weather has really helped a lot.
Yeah, no, I definitely see the progress with everything that we've been doing lately in the weight room, and this weather, being able to be outside in shorts and a short sleeve shirt, which is kind of crazy to think about after the weather that we had last week, school getting canceled on Wednesday because of the weather. It's crazy to think that I was out in shorts and a short sleeve shirt, but honestly, warm weather cures a lot of just everything. It just seems like you're in a lot better mood whenever it's warm outside.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, definitely I like spring and summer a lot more than winter. I like fall, depending on the day, but
we didn't really get fall this year.
Yeah, you're right, but definitely warmer weather is always nice to have and just be in. And I know, like, yesterday it was like 55, today it was up there too, and I looked at the forecast yesterday when Colton and I did our show, TNC on Sundays. If you haven't heard of it or haven't checked that out, that's Sundays at 1. So listen.
Give it a listen. I listen every week. Listen,
yeah. But no, I did a little weather part in there, and it was just, I looked up the forecast, and I didn't believe it at first. I was like, no way. There's 45 to 50 degree weather all week this week, but there is, so I'm happy about that.
Can't complain for sure. So, all right, Trent, what are we talking about today?
All right, today we're gonna talk about the Super Bowl that went on yesterday. Yeah, Pat, I saw that face. The NBA and the trade deadline and how that is coming up Wednesday, and then jump right into Beaver Athletics over the weekend, starting with, I do believe, men's basketball, then women's basketball, and then moving on to track. Talk about how they did this weekend and their upcoming weeks. Basketball obviously always has games on Wednesdays, so we'll just preview where they're at, where they're playing, with their home this week. So come out, support them. But all right, let's jump right in to the Super Bowl. Pat, what'd you think of the Super Bowl?
Trey, I'm not gonna lie, that Super Bowl as a fan was so boring. Literally nothing really good happened. I commend the coaches. The defensive coordinators deserve a lot of credit because both defenses definitely showed up to play. Other than the one drive where the Rams gave up the two touchdowns, mm-hmm. or gave up the touchdown,
yeah.
And, you know, they gave up a couple of long runs. It was honestly a defensive clinic.
Yeah, defense heavy. I mean, there's a lot of sacks. There's a lot of big hits and just both defenses, I mean. The Patriots' defense played out of their mind. Rams' defense as well played out of their mind. But what I didn't like about that the most was, yes, their defenses played really well, but it didn't seem like their offenses played well at all. I mean, looking Julian Edelman, I mean, he was the Super Bowl MVP. If you watched the game, if not, he was the Super Bowl MVP. Really, that entire Patriots offense was almost all him. Brady was just looking for him. I mean, he was getting a lot of separation from the Rams' defensive backs, but it just seemed like every time I looked up at the screen, because I was doing a little bit of homework while the Super Bowl was going off, it just looked like every time I looked up, it was Edelman with the ball, Edelman with another reception, and just, I don't know, that was a little disappointing to me, because I like seeing, like, a whole team, and to me it just seemed like it was Brady Edelman.
Yeah, I mean, and if you think back to the previous Patriots teams, you look at the offense side of the ball. You think mm-hmm. of all the offensive threats that they had, and it was almost one of the situations where the Patriots were always trying to outscore the other team, and they couldn't really rely on their defense in a way, which is crazy that this year it was just completely opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to give credit where credit's due. As much as I hate Tom Brady, he is a good quarterback. I mean, he has 6 Super Bowl rings. That's incredibly hard to do.
Yeah.
But the only thing he did was really get the ball to Julian Edelman, and you got to give credit to Julian Edelman for getting the separation and making easy throws for Tom Brady, because most of the time when you look at Edelman's catches, they're within 7-8 yards of the line of scrimmage, and then a lot of it was yards after catch. So it's one of those situations where, I mean, and with the Rams only putting up 3 points, you look at their offense, they have Brandon Cooks, Todd Gurley, who was almost non-existent.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seemed like there they had more, almost more punts. They had more punts than Gurley had carries at one point in the game.
If the Rams would have found a way to win that game, the MVP of that game should have been the Rams punter. Because he really changed the field with the amount of times he had to punt, and most of the time his punts were so long that it made it hard for the Patriots to have to drive all the way down the field, because the Patriots did move the ball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than the one missed field goal, they only scored 2 field goals and a touchdown. And Julian Edelman had 150-something yards receiving. Mm-hmm. So, in my opinion, Julian Edelman should not have gotten MVP, because what did he do? He did get separation. But look at the defensive side of the ball for the Patriots. Dont'a Hightower had 2 of the Patriots' 4 sacks, caused havoc the entire time. And he might have only gotten 2 sacks, but he rushed the quarterback a lot and caused bad throws. And then you look at Stephon Gilmore, who had the interception when the Rams were driving. I think he had either a fumble recovery or he picked up a fumble. And he basically shut down the Rams' best wide receiver in Brandon Cooks, which Brandon Cooks was on the Patriots last year. So, overall, it was a disappointing defensive clinic for sure, but there was a lot of things I was just not happy about with the Super Bowl.
Now on to NBA. Pat's big thing. Pat's a big basketball person. Played high school basketball. I'll let him tell you a little bit about that if he wants. But just NBA. The NBA trade deadline is Wednesday. So Pat, take it over.
Yeah, I love me some basketball. Trent, growing up in Indiana, obviously we call, you know, most of the United States calls Indiana the basketball state. And I was pretty fortunate to be able to play in 2 state championships during my high school career. My sophomore year, I was more of a bench guy, you know, played JV, but dressed varsity, got to be a part of the whole experience. There was 9 seniors on the team that year, so I learned under a bunch of great guys. We ended up getting beat by a very, very good team who had someone who is now playing in the NBA, and Jaren Jackson Jr. He's 7'1", and let me tell you, he seems even taller when you see him in person. And then my senior year, I was fortunate enough to started half the year, came off the bench half the year as a sixth man. I actually liked being a sixth man more. You got to see kind of how the game was going, and then it's always good to bring some energy off the bench. And I ended up winning a state championship in Ohio. I guess it would be between Division III and Division II. In Indiana, we have classes, 4 different classes, so I was a Class 2A state champion. It was definitely something I always remember, getting to play on the Pacers court.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But speaking of Pacers court, Victor Oladipo is still hurt, and I'm still very upset about that. Just in case you guys wanted an update on that, he's going to be out for a very long time, and I'm very sad. But the big news in the NBA this last week, Kristaps Porzingis meets with the New York Knicks for 5 minutes. He's not happy with the way that the organization is headed. Tells them that he wants to be traded. He's not happy. And not even a couple hours later, Kristaps Porzingis is traded to the Dallas Mavericks.
Holy cow. Understand this. If I was in charge of a big sports team and one of my players came to me and was upset about where my program was going and where what they saw and what they didn't like, and they requested for a trade, I mean, I would, obviously, for me, I would care for my players. I would want what's best for them, what they would like. So I would take that into effect, but it just, that seems crazy, just a couple hours and he's already, but I mean, he's a good player, so if he can get picked up, someone probably was right in there waiting.
Yeah, well, my biggest thing is that he's still recovering from a torn ACL, so he's not even playing for the New York Knicks right now. You know, they're now that he's gotten traded, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, says he does not believe Kristaps Porzingis is even going to play this year, which, for me, it wasn't like Kristaps Porzingis was going to be a restricted free agent. And when the difference between a restricted free agent and an unrestricted is that if another team offers Kristaps Porzingis a contract, the New York Knicks can match that, which means that they still had him under contract. They still could control where he was headed. So I don't understand. When you give up an all-star, you get a point guard in Dennis Smith Jr. You got a first-round pick. They received a couple other guys. You know, no one that I think is really... No one that's like a Kristaps Porzingis. They obviously cleared some cap space. Probably going to try and go after a Kyrie Irving and a Kevin Durant this summer. But I just don't see the logic in a five-minute meeting of him being unhappy. And you don't even try and work it out with him. See mm-hmm. what you can do. See what the, you know, if he's not even going to play this year, see what the Knicks can bring in. See if they can find another superstar or two to come play with him, you know. LeBron obviously is trying to get Anthony Davis to head over, but why don't the Knicks try and bring Anthony Davis? Mm-hmm. You know, try and trade for him. You know, there's a lot of situations that could happen, but to me it's just crazy that a 5-minute meeting could cause them to go and trade a NBA All-Star that fast.
All right, all right. I get where you're coming from with that. All right. You brought up Anthony Davis. Give us a little bit about that. What have you heard? What's the big news going on around him right now?
Well, the big news was is that, you know, a couple of different teams were, you know, throwing out, you know, some hints at the Pelicans, seeing how they're feeling about certain situations. And for a while, the Pelicans GM would not even answer the Lakers' call. Anthony Davis has made it pretty clear he wants to go play for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lakers do have a young core, but right now the Pelicans are upset. They're not happy with Anthony Davis wanting to leave. And, you know, they probably don't want to give Anthony Davis what he wants. Mm-hmm. But the first offer, they finally did call the Lakers back. First offer was Rajon Rondo, Kyle Kuzma, Ivan Zubac, I believe Michael Beasley and a first round draft pick. And they said the Pelicans were underwhelmed by that. So they weren't happy with that. To be honest with you, Trent, I don't think anything that the Lakers send, unless they're just completely, absolutely just stealing at basically every single player from the Lakers, I don't think Anthony Davis is going to get traded to the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, right there, what you said, all those players and even a draft pick, right there, that's a big core group of guys, really good players in that group. And to me, it's tough because obviously Anthony Davis wanted to leave, and they're not happy. But getting all those players in, some of them are really good core players that play a lot of minutes at the Lakers, and just, I don't know. To me, it seemed like a no-brainer to accept that one. But
I actually had that wrong. Now that I think about it, it wasn't Zubac. They offered Lonzo Ball.
Oh man!
So there was two point guards, a small forward, and a power forward in that. And to be honest with you, Kuzma, he hasn't been performing the way he was performing last year mm-hmm. for the Lakers. You know, he had a really good rookie season. Now LeBron's come in, kind of taken over some of his minutes, some of his role as a player. He's had his games where he's played well. He played a little bit better when LeBron was out with the injury. So, you know, that might be a good thing for Kuzma to maybe go somewhere else where he can be more of like a star player like he was last year. So it's definitely something we're going to have to keep our eyes on, what other things the Lakers can bring in. I know Magic Johnson, he wants to bring in another superstar to try and draw another superstar during the summer mm-hmm. over, you know, someone like a Klay Thompson or a Kevin Durant. I couldn't see Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis all being on the same team, but maybe even a Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving has said that he doesn't owe anything to anyone. That was his big quote of this year. After this summer, he basically said that he was going to be re-signing with the Boston Celtics. But things have changed now, Trent. Uh-huh. He doesn't owe anything to anyone. He apologized to LeBron James after being kind of selfish with the whole thing with the Cleveland Cavaliers, wanting a trade, wanting to be his own team, because he says it's not for everyone. And it makes me question, is it for him? Maybe he wants to join up with LeBron
again. Yeah. Do you have anything else about the NBA and what's going on in that world of sports over there?
It's going to be a crazy next couple of days, and I think we're going to have a lot of NBA talk to be talking about next Monday, Trent.
Yeah, all right. So just keep your eye out for the trade deadline and what happens with that these next upcoming days. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to The Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to The Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to The Beaver Dam. I'm your host, Trent Mast. Joined along with me is Patrick Spillman, and we're going to jump right into Bluffton Athletics. The Bluffton University men's basketball team dropped an HCHC road clash at Rose Holman 70-49 on Saturday, February 2nd. Bluffton fell to 15-6 overall and 9-5 in the Heartland Conference, while Rose improved to 14-7 and 10-4 in the HCHC.
It was a back-and-forth game in the first half. Rose Holman came out when Michael Lake went ahead 10-6 when Michael Lake drained a three-point shot. Bluffton did not give up as junior Brevin Dye came back with a jump shot, made it 10-8 with about 15 and a half minutes in the first half. The Beavers then went up 11-10 when junior Andrew Renner hit a three-point shot over 5 minutes into the game. The Beavers trailed by as many as 10 in the first half before Justice Dowdy nailed a triple that cut the engineer lead to 24-21 with about 6 minutes left in the half.
The Beavers would finally claim the lead when Mandel Ransaw hit a layup to put the Beavers up 25-24 with 4 minutes left in the first half. But unfortunately, that was the last time that the Beavers led in the game, and it was all Rose Holman from there.
Yeah, the first half ended with Rose Holman being up 34-28, and then the second half ended with Rose Holman putting up 36 points to the Beavers only putting up 21, with the final score of 70-49. The Bluffton was led by Renner, who netted 16 points on shooting 50% from the field and 2 of 3 from the three-point land. Freshman Jameel Crosby dropped in 9 of his own, shooting 4 of 9 and 1 of 3 from the three-point line. Dye chipped in with 7 points and 5 rebounds.
The Beavers shot 20 of 54 for 37%, while the Engineers were very efficient, 25 of 45 for 55.5% on the afternoon. Bluffton made just 4 of 18 for 22.2% from three-point, and Rose was 7 of 14 for 50%. The Engineers turned the ball over 18 times compared to just 11 for the Beavers. Rose ripped down 15 more rebounds than the Beavers, 35-20.
So yeah, Trent, first half, Beavers played well. You know, going down to Rose Holman, it's hard. It's a four and a half hour bus ride. They stay the night before. It's a long bus ride, but you stay in the hotel, you never get a really that great of sleep. But they came out and played well in the first half, but it was Rose made some adjustments at half, and the second half is what killed us, Trent.
Yeah, really, looking at the stats, points in the paint, Rose, the Engineers had 34 compared to the Beavers just having 14. So right there, that's 20-point different in the paint. And also, the Engineers' bench outscored Bluffton's bench by 8, not with 19, compared to the Bluffton 11. So right there, I mean, we won the turnover battle, but we didn't shoot as well as them, and just really it was offensively.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously, Rose Holman's a pretty big team.
Yeah.
They out-rebounded us 35-20. But the big difference really was the shooting percentage. I mean, Rose Holman was shooting the ball efficiently for a 55.5% compared to the Beavers just 37%. Because if you look at the turnover battle, the Beavers won that pretty handily, 18-11. Mm-hmm. So I think Coach Neal was probably wanting to speed the game up, but it seems like maybe Rose Holman controlled the pace a little bit more. But
yeah, and the rebounding there killed them a little bit too. I mean, Rose with 35 rebounds and Beavers with 20. But we played good defense. We just weren't getting the rebounds and we weren't getting our shots to fall. So yeah. That's always not a good. Good.
It's hard to win a game when you only shoot 37% from the field, especially when the other team shoots over 50%. Hopefully the Beavers can rebound. They need to really win the rest of these games. Right now, they're the fourth spot in the conference behind Hanover, who is in first. Hanover was actually beaten by Anderson this weekend. It caused them to go to 11-3 in the conference. Rose Holman's now 10-4, like we said, in second place. Transylvania won again this weekend, making them 10-4. Our Beavers are 9-5. Anderson move up to fifth place, 7-7, and Manchester has the last spot in the right now for the conference tournament with a 6-7.
Yeah, I mean, our guys dropped two spots after this weekend's games. They were in second, right above Rose Holman, I believe.
Yeah.
Rose and Transy both won this weekend, which put them at the same record and dropped us two spots, pretty much. I mean, technically right now, Rose is, I guess, in conference they would be tied, but overall, Rose has the better record, 14-7, and Transylvania's is 13-8. But really, we just want to hope that our guys can get back on track and win the rest of the way out so they can hopefully host a game or two in the conference tournament.
Yeah, for sure. So the men will be back in action on Wednesday, February 6th, here at the Sommer Center when they play Defiance. Trent and I will be calling that game. I'm pretty excited. I announced my first game last Thursday, which was supposed to be Wednesday, but got rescheduled to Thursday. I announced it with James. I'm really excited to do it with Trent. Trent and I, you know, we've always had that special connection. So I think being able to call a game with your best friend is going to be pretty exciting. So yeah, I'm excited.
Me too. And that tip-off is slated for 8 p.m. Usually the games tip off at 7:30. They pushed back a little bit. It's against Defiance. Make sure you come out, support, make the Sommer Center as loud as you possibly can. Just amp up the Beavers and come out and support.
For sure, for sure. Give the Beavers all the support. Defiance is probably going to bring a huge crowd, mm-hmm. so we want to be able to match that crowd and actually, you know, have a lot more fans there than them.
Now, on to women's basketball. Bluffton University women's basketball team lost a hard-fought, low-scoring game at Rose Holman, 45-37 on Saturday. The setback dropped the Beavers to 7-14 on the year, 5-9 in the conference, while Rose Holman improved to 15-6 and is now 12-2 in the Heartland Conference.
The Beavers started out strong in the first quarter as they defended Rose Holman really well and shot the ball incredibly well. A steady balance of jump shots, layups, and free throws helped the Beavers take a 14-8 lead after first quarter.
It was much of the same story in the second quarter as Bluffton controlled the action for the rest of the half. Once again, playing solid defense and, having a very good offense, the Beavers went into break leading 26-20. TJ Mills paced Bluffton with 9 points in the first half. The Beavers were getting it done inside the paint in the first half as they scored 12 of their 26 points in the key, attacking from all angles.
The third quarter was not so good for the Beavers as they shot 0-for-8 from the floor and committed 7 turnovers as the Beavers went scoreless the entire third quarter. Rose Holman struggled as well, scoring only 6 points in the third quarter as the score was tied 26-26 after 3.
In the fourth quarter, Rose Holman had their best offensive showing of the afternoon. The Engineers went for 19 points in the final quarter, while limiting Bluffton to just 9 points in the fourth quarter. The Beavers were never able to get into an offensive flow in the second half. Despite an outstanding effort on the defensive end, Bluffton came up short 45-37 in the final.
The Beavers were led by TJ Mills with 15 points, going 4-5 from the free throw line. She also had a team-high 3 assists to go along with 3 steals. Kylie Brock
sophomore Kylie Brock scored 8 points off the bench. Brianna Gillick, freshman, led the Beavers with 7 rebounds for the game.
Rose Holman was led by Hannah Woody as she scored 11 points. Allie Bromishekel ripped down 13 rebounds for the home team. Taylor Graham scored 10 off the bench for the Rose Holman victory.
The Beavers went 13 of 51 for the field, shooting only 25.5%, while the Engineers shot 16 of 52, shooting 30.8%. The Beavers were 4 of 20 from the three-point line, which was about a 20% shooting percentage. Bluffton did dominate the glass, winning the rebound battle 46-31. Oh, sorry, I missaid that. Rose Holman led the rebounding battle 46-31. Bluffton committed 16 turnovers to Rose's 13, and both teams had 9 second chance points.
This game was really low scoring. I mean, usually they're up there in the 60s, and no one even broke 50 in this game, but really just offensively it just wasn't working for either team, really. That second half, really, the Beavers really struggled there. I mean, they didn't put up any points in that third quarter, and defensively, they played really solid defense. I mean, yes, they didn't win, but defensively, they played solid and sound, and offensively, they just didn't shoot well. I mean, they had a 25.5% field goal shooting for that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a good game altogether. You know, they played really good defense and kind of shut down Rose Holman's offense in the first half and really in the third quarter as well. Our offense obviously disappeared completely in the second half, only scoring 11 points total and 0 points in the third quarter. Right now I feel like going and playing at Rose Holman's hard. Coach Shuttler will be happy with the defense. Sometimes the ball just doesn't fall. So I think Coach Shuttler can get a lot of positives out of that game. I think he's going to be disappointed. I think with the way things were going in the first half, he thought that they could come away with a win, but obviously a little disappointed. But there's a lot of positives you can take from that game.
Yeah, and with that loss, it dropped the Beavers down to 8th place in the conference, so they're not in the running right now for the conference tournament, and Rose Holman is now sitting up at second, 12-2, right behind Transylvania, who is 13-1 in conference play. And honestly, for playing the second best team in the conference as of right now, they really played a really solid game.
Yeah, I would have to agree. You know, they play Defiance and Anderson this week. If they can get a win in both of those, Defiance right now is sitting in the 6th spot in the conference at 6-8. Anderson's 5-9. They obviously play Defiance at home on Wednesday in the Sommer Center at 6 o'clock. And then they play Anderson at home senior night for the girls. I think they're going to come out fired up. They're going to come up excited. If they can get wins in both those games, obviously they're going to be pumped up for Defiance. But senior night always adds an extra element as well. If they can get 2 wins, hope that Defiance loses another game or two as well along the way. The Beavers definitely still have a chance, but I think they have to win out in order to make the conference tournament, Trent.
Yeah, and I mean, if they just keep playing the good solid defense that they played on Saturday, these last few weeks, last few games, they're really going to be set up really well as long as they can get their offensive side of the ball working a little bit.
Hopefully shooting at home will help them out a little bit. Next 2 games are at home. But, you know, right now it looks like if they do make the tournament, they're definitely going to have to travel somewhere. So they're going to have to get that figured out. But I think defensively, like you said, play strong and they have to win out in order to make the conference tournament.
Yeah. And like Pat said, the women's team will be in the Sommer Center on Wednesday hosting Defiance. Tip-off for that game will be at 6 o'clock, so the men's is pushed back because it's a doubleheader on Wednesday with the women starting at 6, the men starting pretty much right afterwards. following. Come out and support them as well as staying and supporting the men's. We wish both of those teams a good luck for Wednesday and Saturday as well. Now on to track and field. The Bluffton University track and field teams headed to Ohio Northern University to participate in the Joe Banks Invitational on Saturday, February 2nd, continuing to mark provisional conference qualifying times as we get closer to the HCAC championships in 2 weeks at Defiance.
The men's team placed fifth with 62 points, while the women were seventh with 23 points in the field of eight teams. The men were highlighted by freshman Brandon James, who brought home first place in the triple jump with a career best jump of 12.66 meters, which is right around 41 feet, 6.5 inches. The mark also qualifies him for the HCAC meet.
Wow. That is a very big,
yeah,
very big jump. But congratulations to Brandon. And then in the long jump, freshman Noah Judd added a second place finish with a leap of 6.49 meters, which is 21 feet, 3.5 inches, just 0.004 meters shy of the victory. Congratulations, Noah, on that jump. I mean, always a little bit
disappointing knowing that you're that close.
When it was that close, but we applaud you for that good of a jump.
Wrapping up the field events for the men was junior Justin Kaufman, who earned a third place finish in the pole vault with a mark of 4.0 meters, which was 13 feet, 1.5 inches. Trent, I was there. I watched Justin do the pole vault, and he looked really well. And when he missed that, height that he was trying to get after that, he was definitely disappointed in himself. He was talking to his coach. He was talking to the girl pole vaulters as they videoed each one of his jumps, and he was not happy. So I could see in this next meet him correcting some things in practice, and I think he can compete for a conference title.
Yeah. Little fun fact about me. I did pole vault in high school, and pole vaulting is really, really hard. I mean, it takes a lot of core and a lot of just practicing and getting that right. And 13 feet, that's really high. And I know, like, when I did it and I would miss a height that I thought I should have got, I would be disappointed. But Justin, you still placed. Good job there. We wish you luck in the upcoming event. I mean, just go out there and do your thing. Junior John Jones also scored a pair of points thanks to the seventh place finish in the shot put with a toss of 11.88 meters, 38 feet, 11 and 3/4 inches.
The day on the track started off right as junior Dakota Frost earned a fourth place spot in the 3,000-meter run with a season-best time of 9 minutes and 8 seconds. Adding a fourth-place finish for the distance crew was junior Connor Golick with a time of 2:01 in the 800-meter run, qualifying him for the conference championships.
For the sprinters, freshman Daniel Williams had a great performance in the 60-meter dash with a time of 7.32 seconds, good enough to finish in the third position. Sophomore Omar Warlick also added a fourth place finish in the 200 meters with a time of 23.73 seconds.
The Beavers also grabbed fifth place finishes in a pair of relays to add an extra 10 points on the day. The 4x200 meter relay team of Williams, Christian Parker, Judd, and Warlick finished fifth, while the 4x4 group of James, William Bakeman, Austin Hernandez, and Golick also was fifth, but earned third place points with their time of 3 minutes 40 seconds.
On the women's side, Bluffton was led by another pair of superb performances from the distance crew. Senior Jenny Mattson started the day with a fourth place finish in the 3,000 meters, following a season best time of 11 minutes 6.41 seconds. Sophomore Bailey Barrington also placed fourth in the 800 meters with a best time of 2 minutes 26.76 seconds.
In the field, junior Tori Bowen led the group with a fourth place finish in the pole vault with a best vault of 3.51 meters, which is around 11 feet 6 and a fourth inches.
Sophomore Ramey Bauer also finished in the fourth position for high jump with a leap of 1.51 meters, 4 feet, 11 and a half inches.
And that was her season best on that. I was there. My girlfriend is a high jumper. Was there to root on Ramey as she jumped incredibly well. All of her teammates were down there watching her, and they were all so excited for her. Sophomore Stephanie Fox added a sixth-place finish in the weight throw with a conference qualifying mark of 10.87 meters, which is around 35 feet, 8 inches. Another solid performance again for the Beavers. I was there for a little bit, got to watch pole vault, got to watch high jump, got to watch a little bit of the 60-meter sprints. It was pretty good to watch. These Beavers are working hard. We see them practicing. We see them in the weight room. Obviously, a bunch of them are now qualifying for conference, yeah, which is when things really matter. Mm-hmm. They have the Ohio Championships on Saturday, as well as the Defiance College meet on Friday. So they have two meets, actually, this weekend. I think the people that are participating in the All-Ohio probably won't run in the Defiance, but the people that are not qualified for the All-Ohio Championships will probably compete on Friday. Mm-hmm. But the All-Ohio is pretty important, but I think right now the all the coaches on the track team are really focused on conference.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. I mean, they've been doing really well in all their meets, and we see them day in and day out putting in really good workouts, doing the things that they need to do to make sure their times are improving little by little and that they're just running at their best each and every race. And we wish them a good luck this weekend as they race Friday and then some on Saturday as well. If you can make it to Defiance to watch them on Friday and then Otterbein on Saturday, go support, be there, root on your Beavers. Pat, you got anything else to say?
I don't think so, Trent. It's been fun talking about sports with you. I always look forward to Mondays being able to talk about everything that's happened in the past week with sports. Can't complain.
All right. That wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes and Google Play, the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWIT.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mask, joined along with Patrick Spain, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll beef.